Welcome, everyone, back to the broadcast. I'm David Woods from Bruin Report Online, the UCLA site on the On3 Network, and I am joined on this fine Friday morning by Tracy Pearson. Tracy, how are you?
I am just on the top of the world right now, Dave. I got to tell you.
On top of the world, looking down on creation,
and the only explanation I can find is the love. I can't remember the rest.
No,
that I feel.
That's why I stopped there because I don't think anyone
ever since you've been. I don't know. And why that is, Dave? Obviously, football recruiting, but it's mostly seriously. It's because of you bros out there. We're not going to give away numbers, but damn, dudes. You guys, the support you've given us, we are very grateful. The amount of people that have all that have come over in 2 months, let's just say it stunned on three. That kind of surprised us. So very, very grateful, humble, and just thank you guys so much. And
you're
we know there are more coming. My college roommate, who I talked to probably once a month, texted me, goes, "Hey man, you okay?" I'm like, why? He goes, "I haven't seen you post lately on the site." I go, "Hey, dude." He goes, "Oh, crap.
We moved over 2 months ago."
Yeah, I know. He's great, though. He's one of my favorite people.
Hey, if you're listening to this and you're like kind of confused, you're like, wait, aren't they still at the same place? You know what? I've got a great deal for you right now.
That sounded creepy.
I know. That's what I was going for. You can get 3 months of Bruin Report Online. Three whole months. That is 90 days at least, because February is not one of these months. So 90 days at least. Who knows how many days are in May? Nobody can say. Nobody has any idea.
You never know what's going
to
happen.
If they try to tell you they have any idea how many days are in May, they're lying. All right? But you
just because the sun came up yesterday doesn't mean it's going to come up tomorrow.
So true. So true. June? I don't know. 30 days past November? I don't know, man. Who knows? July could have 31, could have 30, could have 29. Doesn't matter. About 90 days.
They changed the entire zodiac sign. You know, all the sun, they changed all the dates, everything. 100%. Everything's changing underneath our feet, Dave.
Everything's changing all the time. But what doesn't change is the quality of content you get at Bruin Report Online. 3 months for $1 right now. That's right. $1 for 3 months
and
of
Dave,
the best inside info, best analysis, and the largest UCLA community on the internet. $1. It would be insane for you not to do this right
now. And this is one of the best. There's so much to say. This is one of the best times to be on the forum. There, everyone, I shouldn't say this because everyone's behaving really well. Everyone's on their best behavior for the new site. It's great. And everyone's trying to be civil, getting along, some really elevated conversations. I mean, I'll admit I'm reading some conversations that are absolutely great. We have our usual band of guys who contribute, but also a lot of inside information from people who are contributing. So that's all just absolutely fantastic. And Dave, this is the time, if there's ever a time to subscribe, this might be it. We had a big day yesterday in UCLA land, and it's only going, I am safely going to say it's only going to get bigger.
This is going to be one of the biggest, from a football recruiting standpoint, one of the biggest weekends in a decade or more.
Where's like Brandon when we need him?
He
would list top five. It would be like Family Feud. What are the top five biggest recruiting? Ding, and he'd get all top seven.
Oh boy,
I love him.
Yesterday, setting the stage was four-star defensive tackle George Tawia, truly an elite defensive tackle. This isn't some fringe four-star. Like, George Tawia is currently ranked the 88th player nationally in the Rivals industry ranking, the 8th defensive lineman nationally, and the 11th best player in Texas. He moved to Texas last year.
UCLA's highest rated commitment right now.
Yes,
as we speak.
Top 100 guy, truly an elite pickup for UCLA, and that's just the starter. There's going to be some stuff dropping today, some stuff dropping tomorrow, some stuff dropping on Sunday that I think is going to make UCLA's current recruiting class maybe a little bit of a national conversation.
It absolutely should. Yeah. And I, and guys, we're not doing this just because we have the information and you don't, and we're special. We're trying to honor all these kids. The way this works is they make their commitment and then they want to get their edit. It's so important to get that little edit. So we all of these grown men, you, me, Biggins, Huffman, are just sitting around waiting for this teenager to get his edit. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then he finally does. So we are honoring that whole process.
Yeah. Right.
And that's literally all it is. It's waiting for someone to make a graphic.
Yes, 100%. And it it drives us all batty. And if you could read the group text chains, it would make you laugh.
Yeah.
But so there's been some news this week that I think we can share about one guy who is heavily speculated to soon be part of UCLA's recruiting class. In addition to George Toia, who committed yesterday, there's a guy, Tracy, who decommitted from Georgia. Are you familiar with the Georgia football program?
You mean Georgia State?
No, no. Oh,
Georgia, maybe Georgia Tech?
No. No, not that one either.
Okay.
I think just remove the second name from those. I don't know. You've got the right school.
I don't know what you're talking about. It's not in my universe.
David. Right. There's this, you know, top five, like every year program called Georgia, located in Athens.
If you say so.
A gentleman named Kirby Smart coaches them to an elite record every single year in frequent college football playoff appearances.
You're talking about peripheral, like fringe things, Dave, that we UCLA people don't know about. So
now there's a guy, Tracy, who was committed to Georgia and then he decommitted and now has interest in UCLA. Tell me, Tracy, do you think he comes from California?
I would bet he does. I bet he lives in Westwood and that's why he chose.
Very interesting. No, he's one of the elite prospects in Texas.
Tracy. Texas. Mm-hmm. So he was from Texas. So what you're saying is he chose UCLA over Georgia State. So it was a step up.
Jerry,
I'm not getting Outhouse. This concept. Dave.
Jerry Outhouse, Tracy,
not getting
decommitted from Georgia this week, and all of the buzz is UCLA. He is like George Toia, a truly elite four star. He is fringe top 100 in the Rivals industry ranking. He's a cornerback. He's got just absolutely ridiculous hair, which I think is just a tremendous quality in any player.
Great hair.
And all the buzz, every bit of the buzz is that he is UCLA bound.
And if this happens, you have, just because he decommitted from Georgia and then let's say just speculatively he commits to UCLA, it is officially a flip.
Yeah.
We're calling that, even though there's a few days in between, it's still a flip.
Yeah, this is a guy that, and it's not just a flip, because Georgia definitely wants him and definitely still wants him. They want him to be part of the class. This is that's the flip. It's also then winning the competitive rebound, because guys, Texas Tech is the probably most well-heeled power in college football right now, or at least they're in the top three.
Just whatever. Second to Duke basketball.
They've got a ton of money. Yeah. And they wanted Jerry Outhouse too. And Jerry Outhouse is, again, heavily speculated to be part of UCLA's class here very soon.
So, I just, before I forget, I watched a lot. This is what's happening to me, Dave. I'm wasting, I wouldn't say wasting. I'm spending a lot of time watching tape on these people because I used to watch just a few highlights and go, yeah, damn, I don't know if that guy can play at UCLA's level. Now I start watching and I go, my wife came in and said, who are you talking to? I go, I'm talking to the huddle site. She goes, you're going crazy. I go, this is insane how good these prospects are. Jerry Outhouse makes one play and I can't remember where it is on his huddle. He's on the far side playing cornerback. There's a completion on the other side. He's on the other side of the hash. The guy's got 10 yards on him. at about the 40 yard line, and he runs the guy down and tackles him at the three. I played it like 7 times. I mean, not only do you have to be fast, you've got to want to play. You have a moat. I mean, it was a phenomenal. I even showed my wife. She said, "Yeah, that's pretty amazing." Yeah, go watch this huddle tape. I mean, yeah. this is speculating that he's going to be a Bruin.
Beyond that, this is potentially again another highly ranked 4-star, highly rated 4-star, along with Tawia, and Tracy. There are a couple others also that we won't get into their names who are also going to be announcing potentially in the next 36 to 48 hours.
Yeah. Just turn to your wife or significant other and say, over the next 36 hours or so, I'm just going to be on bro and just watching and just F5ing if that's okay, because it's a big weekend.
Yeah. Constantly refreshing. And then one announcement, I think that has he posted that he is announcing on Sunday? I believe he has.
If not, I think everyone knows that's happening. So you
right. So Deuce Jones-Drew, the running back from NorCal, he is announcing on Sunday. Just so you know, the way I am phrasing these things, that is separate from the two other announcements that we are not providing the names for. That could happen in the next 36 hours.
And let's just say one of them is going to be, this is going to get everyone. It's going to be a stunning surprise.
Yes. Yes. Actually,
I take it back.
Two of them might be. Both. Yeah. Both. I think from, I'll say, let's get into some obscurity. One will be a stunning surprise just because of like where it came from like a commitment standpoint, like how, I don't know, maybe how quickly it came to be. And the other one will be kind of a shockwave, I think, type landing, where it's not like necessarily a huge surprise, but in terms of the quality of the prospect.
So here's the other thing. They get the commitment from Tawia. They jump from 22 in the Rivals rankings to number 15. That's really unique. One commitment I don't think I've ever seen move a team in the team rankings by 7 spots. You know, I'm kind of doing the math and it's all like a algorithm, but Dave, conservatively, when we're done with this weekend, top 10, I'd say maybe top 5.
And that's why we're saying there's a really good chance UCLA is going to be suddenly like, you know, people are going to be noticing things. Like there's going to be like national voices making tweets and stuff. Maybe even a column or two, because think about where UCLA will be at the end of this weekend. If, you know, if you buy what we're preaching to you right now, they will have at that point, what do they have right now? 9 commitments,
10.
They're going to have potentially 4 more, including 3 of them being, again, fairly highly rated. That's going to be 14, if my count is correct, including many 4-stars. And Tracy, after this weekend, how many, it's got to be a lot, how many official visits will UCLA have hosted by that point at the end of this weekend?
To my knowledge, that would be none.
Oh, so it'll be 0? That's the number? 0 official visits?
And could you imagine, you and I were talking about this yesterday, could you imagine what an UCLA under Bob Chesney, how they've done recruiting so well so far? Can you imagine what an official visit's going to be like?
That's the thing, is like everything has been so like just 5-star every single moment. Like when we walked up to that first, whatever it was, the first Saturday of spring football, and they had the food trucks all set out between Pauly and the field. And they had that whole setup for all of the, like they had, you know, beanbag toss, the whole thing for all these recruits. And they had like 300 recruits or whatever it was there. I mean, you knew. There's no doubt in my mind it's going to be like one of the top official visits that these guys take is going to be UCLA.
And we're basing that on just not like that first day. Everything we've seen from Bombchesney that we've experienced has been different and better. First day of spring practice, the spring practices, just every last, the way he's dealt with the media, every last thing has been, you've read all the impressions from recruits. This is, it's just different. It's on a whole another level.
And yeah.
Yeah, I hasn't even coached one play yet. And this is where we are. And I just have to say, if they win, I don't even know. You can't even start imagining where this could go. If they actually win 8 or 9 games this year, I mean, what they will be able to sell, because they're, let's just face it, they're great recruiting salesmen. You know, and Dave, we've always said, if you just get a really good recruiter there, this program could take off, and we're just fired up the engine so far.
Yeah. It's pretty nuts. Like what this feels like. I mean, the obvious comparison is early Jim Mora, but you know what it feels like is that second class, the first full class that Jim Mora had, that 2013 class, but the way the timelines work, because this will be his first full class, this will be his equivalent of 2013, but the way the timelines work, Mora was recruiting off of the early success of the 2012 season. Bombchesney is recruiting off of making the college football playoff at JMU and then being highly energetic at UCLA. And obviously UCLA having a little bit more, a little bit more in the NIL department, but it's a different vibe because Mora had early success to sell. Chesney doesn't have any like proof of concept really at UCLA yet. But it's already coming in. But like, that's the obvious comparison at this point, is that 2013 class where I remember in old scout days, and I don't know, I actually haven't looked back to see what it's ranked in On3 historically, but in old scout days, that was a top 5 class that they ended up with. And look, I don't think this is going to end up top 5. I don't think they're, you know, I don't think it's going to be whatever that one was, which was like 1 5-star and like 24 stars. But I mean, we were writing last week, oh wow, they could have a top 25 class, or, you know, here's how they put together a top 25 class. Right now I'm looking at this and I'm saying they would kind of have to fall apart at this point to not have a top 15 class. Because yeah. If you look at the historical markers for a top 15 class, it's about 10-ish 4-stars. I would bet pretty heavily on them having at minimum 10 4-stars heading into the signing day and all that.
And
kind of stuff.
That's the clarification, though, just to say, we're talking about by the end of spring that they have this class. We have to like take it a little bit off the table on what will happen because of the season. It could go either way. I mean, if they don't do well, some of this could erode. But I'm telling you, I think if they win just 6 games, they have the chance to flip some guys in this to continue to improve. So, right, but we're talking about class right now, we're talking about end of July. Let's say.
I'm done with Tracy's deep-seated negativity, done with his skepticism. There's no way that they're winning fewer than 6 games this year.
Okay, there he goes. Wow, I love Dave.
Lock it in, guys. Write it in blood. 0% chance under 6 games.
And you know what? Now that we're talking about it, Dave, I'm getting a little greedy. Mm. We're talking all about 4 stars. Why don't they just get a 5-star too? Throw in at least 1 5-star. What do you say?
Why not? Hey, Dante Wright.
Dante Wright.
You know,
come on down.
Jerry Outhouse is on his way over. Why don't you come too?
Yeah. And didn't he? I mean, former, I can't say he's former, but he's a Georgia commit. I mean, the path is ahead of you. You've just seen it. And he just visited UCLA and kind of raved about it. So, yeah. Come on, Dante. Be the headliner.
Water's nice.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, the way this is shaping up, it's, I mean, again, the range for a top 15 class is, this is tracking to be right there. Because right now UCLA has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 4-star commitments in Zach Fairs, Colton McKibben, Khalil Terry, Pauli Mawala, and George Tuia. By the end of this weekend, we're anticipating, can I say this? Should I say this? Three more.
Okay.
We're anticipating three more. And then they've got irons in the fire with a lot of guys that I would be shocked if they didn't land at least two of them. And then some of these guys, you know, I'm looking at Montana Toilolo particularly, could end up themselves in the low range of four stars as well.
No, it's very likely. When I wrote those two-parter stories about transfer portal and projecting how UCLA gets to a top 25 class, I consulted with our friend Brandon, and he repeated to me many times that the rating process is not done. There are a lot of guys. For one thing, ESPN is just dragging its feet of rating a lot of these guys. And then there will be updates also, and then updates done because of their seasons. Brandon anticipates of some of their commitments, there could be at least conservatively a couple of guys who are three star who end up four stars. So I don't know how many you were adding up in your mind, but we might be over, that might be over 10 four stars, I think, easily.
Yeah. And again, I must reiterate, they haven't hosted an official visit yet.
Now, Dave, these guys are going to be officially visiting other places too. That'll put the other programs will put their best foot forward. So, I mean, the official visit season is very, very highly, highly competitive. Like, I'm sure, what was that school you were talking about earlier?
Georgia State?
Georgia. I bet they do a good official visit.
Mm.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be very competitive. Like
Athens, Georgia, very similar to Los Angeles, right?
Like similar
amenities, similar cool things to do.
How close were you to Athens?
An hour.
See? You didn't want to come back. I had to beg Dave. He's like, no.
I want to stay in Athens. So Atlanta, this is just an aside. Atlanta is basically Los Angeles with a little bit of Southern flavor. Like it's got all the same stuff that you're thinking of with Los Angeles. They've even got like movie studio stuff now.
Yeah.
It's a cosmopolitan city with just a little Southern flavor. It's great. Yeah. You go 10 miles outside of Atlanta and you are in the middle of nowhere. You are in bum F. Like it is just what is happening here. Athens is on the other side of that. It's a different place. It's not Atlanta. So I guess my point here is look, yeah, okay. Kirby Smart can, you know, have a nice official visit and the whole thing, and you know, they can get some greeters who will be very happy to see the players and all that kind of stuff. But it's UCLA, man. It's if you can't host a good official visit at UCLA, you are Chip Kelly. And that's just the reality. Deshaun Foster was hosting good official visits at UCLA. It's easy.
Like, Dave, they should only visit one day, Dave. They can get all their information
and
in
just
one day.
At the training table.
And just the
Let's
training
do table. Everything possible to make coming to UCLA feel like visiting Tulsa.
Or a prison. It is, thinking back on it, it is amazing. Wow. So Dave,
want those guys that want to be wined and dined. You know, 98% of all prospects. We don't want any of those guys.
And I got to admit, when this first was happening, that very first spring of Chip Kelly, we tried to buy in, you and I, to the whole concept. It's all business all the time. He wants business-minded guys. That lasted maybe a matter of months. And then we started to really see it in practical application going, this ain't going to work. And then we saw that first season. Anyway, Dave, there is a football team that's still practicing. And there is, speaking of differences, there's actually a spring game. It's a game that it's going to be a game. There's like supposed to be like a game kind of format on Saturday.
I will say this. I agree. I think there will be some sort of competitive game, and I think it will be like much more than you've seen in recent spring games. Every time I hear this, though, I'm reminded that all spring games are ridiculous affairs where, like, it, you know, there'll be contact for like 3 minutes and then it's going to be, you know, two hand touch. And that's fine. That's what spring games should be. But I would just like to, like, yes, I think everyone should go because I think it's going to be fun. I think they're going to do everything. Like, I think it'll be like one of those Jim Mora spring games where it's actually fun to go. And, you know, it's basically like a circus event, but like expecting it to be, you know, full on, you know, 45, 60 minutes of tackle football. Sure. Maybe.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about it. I mean, we can go over, but the whole thing, but let's just say, what would we like to get out of this spring game, Dave? What would you like to see that would satisfy some of your concerns and worries from what we've seen in spring practice?
Well, I'll tell you what I would like to see is them to not have quite enough players to run their like two teams idea. And instead I want to see offense versus defense, because I think this would be a better glimpse of the actual depth in this sort of environment than we've seen in practice. Like, I think we might have a better idea if they run something like that. And I think it will be slightly less interesting for the fan, but I think it would be more valuable for us learning about the team and the depth chart.
And that's all that really matters.
That's all that matters to me, baby.
Yeah. You know, I'm all about the offensive line. I would like to see, you know, they've been mixing and matching a lot. And I think that makes a lot of sense. You know, Coach Smith, the offensive line coach, is getting to know 47 different offensive linemen. So I get it. You want to put them in there, see how they do with the ones, see if there's good combinations. But I want to see this, like, the ones start firming up here. I'd really like to see Jordan Davis play left tackle and be good. If you put that in place, everything else feels like it's going to be fine, Dave. If you feel the left tackle spot is solid to better than solid, the offensive line, I feel okay about then, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I think I've been like, I've been less worried about the offensive line generally, but I do agree if there is like a potential, I won't say a potential weak spot, but if there is a place where things could fall apart to some extent, it's at that left tackle spot. Like, that's probably the part where I am most skeptical and least convinced so far on the offensive line. Because the interior, I generally think they have so many bodies to run out there at guard and center that ending up with unplayable or weak interior play seems that would kind of strain credulity for me, because I just don't. There's just too much there. And I think they're going to end up with pretty good play on the interior.
Strain your credulity. Yeah, I just had to
credulity.
Say.
But on the right side, I feel fine, because right tackle, I think you can also use some of that interior depth. Like, if you took a guy like Julian Armella and decided he was going to play right tackle, not the end of the world. Like, you can do that. But left tackle, you kind of need that special agility. You need that kind of special athleticism. You need that great bend and all that good stuff. And what we haven't seen, because I would say at this point, we've seen pretty consistently JD Rayner and then maybe Hall Schmidt. They're working with those guys a lot at right tackle. At left tackle, it feels like it's been a little bit more of a, I won't say revolving door, but it's been a lot more faces I think we've seen there, particularly with the first string, or what we're calling the first string, which leads me to believe they're still a little undecided, still a little trying to figure it out. And so just if you're undecided at this point in the spring, or you haven't kind of narrowed it down, and this is us speculating based on our observation, then that makes me think maybe you don't have a great answer yet. And so it'll be interesting to see.
The other thing I would really like to take away is some that we witnessed some star power. I want to see Sahir West get like 7 sacks or just at least really flash that he's clearly so good that he's very hard to contain. Like, beyond what you would say, okay, well, maybe the offensive line just isn't very good, that it leaves you to believe he can do that against anyone. So it's Sahir West. And then the other guy that I think has a chance to really is, because he's had some of the best moments of spring, is the receiver, Brian Rowe.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see those guys step up and have some star moments.
I want a spectacular play from Brian Rowe so we don't look insane. Like, yeah. I want everyone to see it with their own eyes so that when he drops a ball in game one, I don't get a bunch of posts that are like, what were you talking about? All right?
Yep.
All right? You hear that? You hear that, yep. Pros? But yeah, on Sahir West, I do want to say one thing there. Sahir. I want to say something. Comp there, just so everyone knows, he's not like a speed rusher. He's not like an Anthony Barr or Takaris McKinley. He's more of a power rusher. Like, before he moved inside Dayton Jones, but like better. Like, he's a big, strong guy who's going to rip through some offensive tackles and make some plays, but he's also a guy who can flex into the three tech if he needed to and be a pass rusher there. So when you're envisioning him, try not to think of it as like, you know, a pure, like, you know, he's just going to whip around a tackle all the time. Cause that's not really his play style. He's actually, you know, what's his face? Which Murphy twin was the good one at the end?
Oh, damn.
Right. Gabriel.
Yes.
Whichever one was the good one that final year, opposite Leatu Latu, like that, but a little bit better. Like,
yeah,
pretty powerful, can shift inside if need be.
More fluid,
but like, yeah, it's that sort of player, not, you know, a lithe whip like Anthony Barr or something like that. Yeah. It's not the same sort of deal. But yeah, I want to see him have some plays. And he's made some plays kind of consistently in practice. Like, the number of runs he's blown up, where he basically is getting there, blowing through a tackle and getting there at the exchange, is that's a pretty consistent thing from him. And he's so powerful that there's going to be like a meaningful forced fumble rate from him. Like, he's going to hit quarterbacks and the ball is going to go places. So I think that's going to be really cool. I agree with you. I want to see Brian Rowe. I want to see what he can do. And also because he's been consistently healthy, like, I would love to see what Leland Smith is going to do, but I don't know if Leland Smith is going to do anything because he's been limited all spring. So Brian Rowe, he's been a standout. What's he going to show? I want to see the quarterbacks in competitive situations consistently move the ball. We've seen that more, I would say, in the last week. I want to see it in this environment where you've got thousands of fans watching, and, you know, see them actually perform. I think Nico's had a better week. I think Ty Dieffenbach really showed some stuff this week. I want to see those guys really do it in this environment.
Yeah. The timing of the passing game is what you want to see, is that because the first few weeks of spring practice, the timing was just off as they were getting it all down.
Yep.
So definitely want to see that. If there's one guy I'd love to see that I could walk away saying, okay, he's really good, it would be the inside linebacker, Sammy Omosigo.
I was just going to go there.
I should have let you go.
No.
And why? For a few reasons. He's critical here. I mean, they need a big-time linebacker. The talent level at linebacker, you would say, is not as good as it is at other units. And if he lives up to expectation and he's really good, that goes a long way. And then Dave, the 5-5 rule, all we're hearing is probably going to pass. It's not retroactive. So it's only applies to the guys. It doesn't apply to anyone who's losing eligibility in 2026. And it applies to all the guys who haven't redshirted. That would be Sammy Omosigo. He would get one more year. So if he stands out this year and he has one more year, dude, that goes so far for this defense.
And for everyone, Sammy Omosigo has been the one that has been ensconced with the first string. It's been a little bit of a moving target, though. I would say Jalen Woods appears to have gotten the edge the last 2 weeks. But it's been Donovan Palat and Jalen Woods at the other spot. But it's been almost universally Sammy Omosigo at one of these. So they're counting on him, and we want to see it. We want to see it in this kind of gamey environment. Like, I want to see him in position to make 10 tackles. Like, it doesn't have to be made 10 tackles, because, again, we'll see exactly how much tackling there is.
I would just like to see him not overrunning a play.
I do want to say, I'm the one being skeptical here. This isn't me being voice of the program to try to let you down. They could go out there and have an absolute tackle fest bloodbath. I'm just saying, in my experience with spring games, a lot of things get said, and then the spring game ends up being.
I think it's Chesney has always stepped up to expectation and gone beyond. I think it's going to be something. I think it's going to be energy. I mean, so many times with.
I think it'll be Chip energy. I think it'll Deshaun, be something. I'm just. I
bet we have Oklahoma one-on-ones too. I bet he does a lot to try to get some energy.
I agree with all of that. I'm just, you know, if people are expecting 60 minutes of a full-on game where like quarterbacks are live, like, no, probably won't be that.
Yeah. That's why they're not. That's why they're not televising spring games anymore.
The spring games. Look, I've got complicated feelings about spring games generally.
I can tell, Dave.
It's just.
Have you talked to someone?
I should. Yeah. I need to talk to somebody. Where did the spring game hurt you? So, anywho, so with the, I'm trying to think what else. Like, I think with the secondary, I'm relatively confident in everything. And the thing is, Roderick Pleasant is probably not going to be participating if it's an actual tackle practice. And Scooter Jackson, you know, as we reported, what was that? Was that Monday? Mm. That might've been Monday. Anyway, as we reported, Scooter Jackson has academic issues right now, which is why he's being held out. It's not yet certain whether he'll be back for the fall, but if he is, potentially UCLA's starting cornerback tandem might not be participating in the spring game. So, just that's another thing to consider. You're going to be getting a look at potentially two of the backups. But I mean, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I think the crowd will be something to watch, you know, exactly how many people actually show up to the Rose Bowl.
At last note from Sir Bulch, it was 18,000 had already received a ticket.
Apparently some idiot USC fan has been reserving 50 tickets at a time for like the last week.
Really? I didn't hear that.
Those numbers, so that then it's disappointing. We will find out if that's true or not.
Aha. Uh-huh.
But some,
God, man, you've got to have some things going or some things not going on in your life to do that.
I got to say.
Do you know this guy?
He's just some Twitter guy. But I got to say, I find it really funny. I would find that really funny if like a UCLA fan were to do that on the other end, it would be hilarious. So
did he confess to doing it?
Yeah. And he confessed too early. Like that's the kind of thing you confess to after the fact, not before it actually happens. But like if it ends up being like 4,000 people there and it's, I mean, first, what a time suck. But second, like that would
be I think you can only reserve like four at a time, too.
I think he was reserving 50, but I could be wrong.
I think I read there was some limit on how many you could reserve. So he put some time into that.
Let me see.
Okay, good on you there, Trojan.
Let me see his screenshot. He posted a screenshot of it. You know, he posted a screenshot where he posted 50 complimentary, like in his order.
Okay.
So anywho. There you go. But yeah, spring game, head out there. Tracy and I and Tracy McDonald, we will all be there.
T-Mac.
So say hello if you see us.
They got us out there on the sunny side.
I know. I think I might, you know, maybe just go up in the press box. What do we think?
No,
have one of us up there probably to, you know, get a good view of certain things.
I think the view will be okay because there's supposed to be at least a few. The press box, man, it's like you're watching the game from Burbank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it makes me feel better because then I can watch it on the TV and that's my comfort zone.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway, y'all need to come. I think it's going to be a spectacle. And just to watch Bob Chesney in his element. And just to see how he orchestrates, like, you know, a circus ringleader, a session is just something to behold.
You know what they should do? They should have him mic'd up through the stadium for the entire thing.
I thought you were going to say dress like a circus ringleader.
Do you remember when Jim Mora, like, I think it was the second year, he did the full-on, like, MC thing where he was on the mic the entire time and trying to do all that while coaching the team?
Yeah.
That was insane.
That was insane. It was a good attempt.
It was a good attempt.
Yeah.
All right. So, football, nothing but excitement, nothing but great things.
We're shifting gears here.
Let's talk about the men's basketball program. All right. So it was reported by various people that Tunde Yusufu, are we going with that?
Yeah.
Sure. Yusufu, his agent has informed everyone that Tunde would like to stay in the NBA draft. So that is what his agent is telling people, and people have done some good reporting on this. Aaron Heisen went and talked to the agent himself and reported it. That is all well and good. I want to take this moment to bring up another thing, and we'll get into some actual recruiting stuff. But somebody, and this is totally no fault of their own, they posted a Sports Illustrated link on our message board, which was basically an aggregation of the reporting about Tunde. And I want everyone to understand this about Sports Illustrated at this point in its existence. And this goes for many previously reputable organizations that have been purchased by, in a lot of ways, private equity ghouls or various other things. It's basically sub BuzzFeed level trash now. Sports Illustrated is an aggregator. It doesn't do virtually any. I think they might still employ one or two national writers who do some original stuff, so I'm not trying to paint them with this brush. But at the team level, when they're like, when you see a link from Sports Illustrated, this is aggregation and oftentimes written by AI. Like oftentimes it is written by an LLM.
And just to add over just about that specific, over the years, there have been times when in the last few years, Sports Illustrated has shared some premium content that we put out. I tried to reach out to the writer as one human being to another, Dave.
But the writer doesn't exist.
There have been a couple of times when they did or someone responded to me, but I'm suspecting the other ones who didn't respond do not exist.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, and then I want to branch into a larger point. There is an epidemic of not just organization like Sports Illustrated, but a lot of writers, a lot of human writers, using LLMs or AI, if you want to call it the thing that it isn't, but if you want to call it the thing that it is, large language models, to write large portions of their stories. It's easy once you get versed in it to figure out whether or not they're doing it, because most people are using the free version of ChatGPT, which is not great. There's a lot of this construction. If you see, it's not just a way of life. It's not just a great thing. It's a way of life. It's not just delivery. It's DiGiorno. It's that construction. It's not just this. It's this slightly more intense thing here. Or it's not just this. It's this other thing. If you see a ton of that, it's almost certainly written by an LLM. It's almost certain that the person has written a story, or maybe not even, plugged it into ChatGPT to dress it up, or they have just simply posted a prompt on ChatGPT with relevant details and then had it spit out an article.
And then
that
the one
a lot.
The one saddest part about this that I'm sad about, they also use an M-dash quite often.
Correct.
And you and I are M-dash writers.
I've always been an M-dash writer.
I've been an M-dash writer since I was born.
Well, and this is what I found myself doing is using more parentheticals simply to indicate that I am not a bot. But
Dave is AI. I hatched him 15 years ago. He does not exist.
I would like everyone. Look, the problem is I read a lot of internet writing. Tracy reads a lot of internet writing. A lot of
but
people...
I'm just gonna say this first. Dave is phenomenal at this. It is amazing how my talent is facial recognition. I have to admit, I'm great. Dave can, just so you know, you little posters out there on our forum, Dave can a completely different username. He can recognize a style of writing after like one post and say, oh, you know what? This is the previous post or this guy. And I go, how do you know? And we look it up and it is. It's phenomenal. Yeah, no,
I was, this is, I was born for this. I obsess too much. I read everything that you people write on our message board. And I've got like in my head, I've got a little, encyclopedia of you, just so you know. And it's, I mean that in the nicest,
I'm not exaggerating. Ways. It's crazy.
But my point is, we all like, it's part of my job to read a bunch of stuff on the internet. And so I've developed a good filter for it. I don't expect you to have that, you meaning the listener out there, but I would say start being, just try to be more aware of it because it's insidious, because what you're reading is not the thought of a human. It's not a well-considered belief. It is filler, essentially. And second, it's going to ruin these LLMs and AI have ruined a lot of industries already. I don't think I'm, you know, and you might be an AI like happy person and you're saying, well, it's disrupted and whatever. My opinion is it's ruined. Like Google search is useless now, or functionally so. This continuous use of LLMs by actual human writers devalues the industry that we're all part of. Like, it basically, you're saying your job doesn't matter because you can just get a bot to substitute it. Supporting them in that endeavor, I think, is bad for everybody. Certainly bad for us. We don't want to be replaced by bots, and nor do we think we would be.
No one could replace us, Dave.
Well, the thing is, like, there's value at this point in what we're producing, right? We've got info, we've got contacts, we've got our own eyeballs to analyze things. But if other people are continuously devaluing this product, people are not going to buy their product or their version of it. And then they'll think, oh, they're probably like them. So anyway, when you see it, call it out. Some of you will be able to. When you see it, call it out. Because people shouldn't be doing it and they should be coached not to. Young guys out there writing, you know, just learning how to do this stuff. Maybe they got used to using LLMs in college or soon after college or whatever it is. Let them know, hey, I can see you're doing that. Don't do that. Do it via, you know, private message or email or whatever. Just, you know, coach people up. Yeah. Anyway, off my soapbox.
Anyway, so I think that's kind of a good... I don't want to get too much, but I think that's kind of a good preview of what to look for on Saturday. We want some star power. We want to see the offensive line do well. Running back, a little interested in who steps up and who kind of shines there. Javian Thomas has kind of been the...
You went back to football.
Yeah, just because I wanted to finish that off. Just on that one thing, Javian Thomas might be a guy to watch for too at running back. Where we do want to go, though, kind of our last thing, and we want to touch on the women's basketball, those national champs, if you remember, not too far back. Coach Close, Corey Close, has done a pretty good job of restocking her roster. And I'd say if there's anything that she didn't do well, I would say, and I'm just going to say it, it's not her fault. Let that just sit there for a while. They just received a commitment from KK Bransford this week, a transfer from Notre Dame. Interesting take. She was a McDonald's All-American, like a top 10 player coming out of high school. Had a couple of good, solid years at Notre Dame, then redshirted after a leg injury. Sat out 12 games last year. She started, then sat out 12 games. With another injury, came in as like the sixth man off the bench. Good defender, brings a lot of toughness, is kind of a glue person. not a great shooter, mid-range, mid-range good, nothing really extended beyond that. But I think a good addition gives you depth at the wing and guard position. I like this roster. I would have liked to have seen, and they could possibly not be done, but they probably are. Another front court player might have worked here. But Dave, what's your take here on the restocking?
Yeah, I mean, if they finish up here, I think they are comfortably top 15, maybe better. I think they'll be a good, solid team again. I think it's, you know, I think they've got a lot of really nice pieces. A lot's going to depend on, I think, growth in the front court. You know, can Sienna Betts really step up and into bigger shoes in year two? Because she's going to need to play, you know, probably twice as many minutes, maybe slightly more than that, than she did this past year. But, I mean, they've got a lot of nice pieces. I mean, Addie Brown, Donovan Hunter, these are good players who I think can play really well. And Alina Arnasalo is already familiar with Corey Close's system. And then she went out and became a much better shooter. A better player in a lot of ways at North Carolina. I think you can see something that, you know, might take a second for everything to work together correctly, but I think it's the kind of team that I think will be playing, will potentially look a lot better at the end of the year than it does at the beginning. Not to use that classic Mick Cronin trope, but, you know, Sienna Betts is going to have to, like, get used to playing significantly more minutes. And I think as she gets more comfortable doing so, you could see the team's trajectory start to rise. I don't think it's going to be a top, whatever, top three, top four team that's going to be like in contention for a one seed. But I see this as an obvious, like, back to the, like, whatever it was 5 years ago, Corey Close, where it's, you know, consistent. This is a Sweet 16 team that has potential to do a little bit more.
So there you go. I think we did a lot. I mean, I probably like to finish or relatively finish. There was a post put up today on the football forum. It's called This Community. It was by a non 177182285 Dave. And he wrote, "This is my first time buying a subscription for this website. I'm so glad I did. Seeing all the information every day and everyone replying to it and being just as hype as me gives me so much hope for this program. Can't wait to see how much excitement this week and the season will bring us. Fours up." Anon, love you. Welcome. You know what? If you don't, that's one of those weird usernames. If you want it, great. If not, Anon, email On Three and they can switch your username for you. But thank you. Appreciate it. And everyone's follow up after that saying, you know, this is the place to be. Really, really, really appreciate y'all. And this is happening this weekend, guys. Just say goodbye to your families and just bring some kind of device with you at all times and be in good Wi-Fi range.
Right. And if you're out and, like, I mean, gosh, I'm trying to think, like, do you, if you're comfortable bringing the phone into the bathroom with you, that's fine. Otherwise, look into Depends, you know, whatever needs to happen that you can constantly refresh.
Right. No time to go backpacking into a remote area without
definitely
Wi-Fi.
Not.
This
definitely
is not the not. Weekend.
Yeah. No flights unless they've got the really good, you know, unless they've got like a really secure connection, yeah. Right? You don't want to take the chance that the Wi-Fi goes out, right? That go in flight doesn't work. Right. So, you know, make sure you're on a modern airplane. And an up-to-date carrier. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, this has been a pleasure. A lot of news to come. There'll be stuff coming today. So stay tuned, people. All right. For Tracy Pearson, I'm David Woods, Bruin Report Online. We'll talk to you again next time.
We'll see y'all.